Good morning, Arizona. There's your 8 a.m. Saturday morning rooster call. It is Rosie on the house every Saturday morning. Starting off this hour, the outdoor living hour, we have notes from the nursery with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery. Time to plant something.
It is. And, you know, fall is, you know, we've talked about this for years and years and years, and we just have a hard time getting it, getting people to understand, to buy in, to, you know, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, fall is really the best time to plant probably 90% of everything we plant here. Why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons, and I'll talk a lot more in depth about that at our 10 o'clock hot dogs and horticulture seminar at our Landscape and Garden Center today. If anybody cares to show up, we might learn something and you get a free lunch. But the biggest reason is the fact that things have so much time, if you plant them now, to acclimate, to root, to get established before the hot weather of next summer hits. And I had a Canadian couple in the nursery yesterday, and she came in and she wanted to replace a rose bush, and she said, whether it was by mistake or on purpose, that my rose bush, you know, we're part-time visitors here, and my rose bush died this winter. And I said, you meant summer, but you're really right. I said, summer is our winter. You know, from Canada, things die in the winter. You know, they don't make it through the winter. Here, things die in the summer. So it's really kind of our bleak, stressful time for plants is summer, not winter. Winter is our, what we're in now is really spring for most places in the world. So we want to get things in and get them at the more established they are, the better chance they've got of getting through winter, or in our case, summer. And so that's why this is really the best time to plant. The air is cool. In case anybody didn't notice it, it did cool off. The soil's still fairly warm because soils and waters don't change temperature as fast as the air does. So things, you know, we've got a nice warm soil, and a lot of people, you know, when they're trying to propagate things or make things grow, they'll put a heating pad under their pots or their flats to try and keep that soil temperature up. Well, if you have nice warm soils and cool air, you've got a perfect combination of trying to get things to establish themselves.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk about establishing something for your backyard, garden, vegetable, trees, shade, lawns. Like you said, just about everything.
We're still very much in the thick of winter vegetable gardening. You can plant and replant, you know, second, third, fourth crops of a lot of the winter leafy vegetables, onion sets, radishes, carrots. You know, a little tip is, you know, you plant a row, and when they start coming up, maybe you plant another row, and as then later on when you're harvesting these, then, you know, in a few weeks, you know, so you've got things spread out. You don't have everything ready all at once. And that's the nice thing about our winter gardens is we have time to do that. Even the lettuces and the spinaches and those types of things, you can have different ones coming on all winter long. So very much in the throes of that, of course, you know, people are changing out their old summer dreary flower beds or planting pots that maybe sat empty all summer with things like geraniums and petunias and snapdragons and all the beautiful flowers that people in most parts of the country plant in the spring to have all summer. We plant in the fall to have all winter. So, you know, we're doing that. And again, great time to plant trees and shrubs. You know, the only things you have to be careful of are the handful of things that might be a little bit frost sensitive. And even those, it's a great time to plant them as long as you're willing to protect them or know that you might need to protect them if it gets cold.
I've still got okra I'm picking every week. Now, it's not as prolific as it was in the summertime, but it's funny because it's one of the only plants that you can plant in the heat, hottest part of the summer and still grow.
It can't get too hot for okra.
And I got enough for a nice batch of fried okra tonight.
Well,
I'm not expecting it to hang on much longer.
I didn't mark it in the calendar, but it has only been 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. It was 100, you know, in the 90s or close to 100, middle of October. So we've just barely had any cool, you know, a couple of weeks. And even then, we've had, you know, it's going to be 80 today.
And then record snowfall in Flagstaff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there were areas up there that got a foot?
I heard 9-10 inches a foot. Huh?
Yeah, a foot.
Wow.
Nice.
That's good. That's good. That's excellent. And of course, we've had lots of precipitation in the form of rain in a lot of places. And it, again, another good reason to plant this time of year is you get winter rains. You get an occasional rain that there's nothing like a newly planted plant that gets some rain on it, because rainwater, water from our atmosphere, just is so far superior to anything we can irrigate with as far as what it does for plants. So, another good reason, natural rainfall.
The benefits just don't end.
They really don't. You know, you sweat less.
I thought that was the best reason to plant in fall.
Well, it could be.
For the planter.
Yeah, and it's much easier on the planter as well as the plant.
Now, I've seen a lot of ryegrass lawns popping up.
Yep.
Planted early enough, they don't really need to be ground covered or mulched. At what point, if someone's going to put in a rye lawn, have they waited too long and they need to add the mulch to keep the seed warm?
I would say if we're getting frost or close to that every night. So, you know, probably after Thanksgiving, you know, when we start getting, you know, pretty cold soil temperatures. Again, a lot of it gets back to those soil temperatures, and that this great combination we have right now of warmer soil temperatures and cooler air. At some point, the soil temperatures, especially on the surface, you know, like lawns, you know, when you drive around neighborhoods, and we don't have a frost, but you look at rooftops and wet lawns, and they've got a little frosty dew on them, because even though it may not be 32 degrees, it's kind of colder right there on the ground than it really is, you know, where we measure the temperature. So I would say probably any time after Thanksgiving. You know, there's the baseball fields that the Giants use in Scottsdale, right there at in the Indian Bend Wash between Indian School and Chaparral. You know, because of fall leagues and fall baseball, they don't overseed those until about an hour, a little later, and they come in just fine. So it's never really too late to do ryegrass, but like you said, putting a covering of mulch or manure or something over the top of that dark color, if nothing else, will hold more heat and insulate the seed. Now, your challenge might be finding seed as we get down the road.
Well, I have another challenge for you as well.
Okay.
If you wait and don't do it till after your neighbors have already done it, then all the birds find you.
Yeah, you don't want to be first or last.
Our backyard, if we have one blade of grass left, I'll be surprised.
Jennifer, I have figured it out.
Have you? Just stand there and
I have outsmarted the birds.
Oh, I doubt it.
There's a vote of confidence.
Wow. That's a Saturday morning slam down, smack down.
Tell me.
John Jay, this is the second year. Now, last year it was just a theory of mine, but this year I'm pretty sure. Do your winter rye before you have to mulch it. Those birds know as soon as they see the black mulching going over the grass, it's lunchtime. I have two pieces of property. One, I never mulch. I just spread the seed. I mow the lawn down and I just seed. We didn't have a single bird. Second piece of property got mulched. I'll bet you I could gumbo 1,000 doves a day. No, I won't. I didn't, but I could.
Well, you may have a point after all.
That'd take a long time cleaning that many little birds.
I am convinced they recognize that mulch.
There has to be some signal to them because they don't smell. You know, I mean, and so, yeah, I think probably seeing the lawn scalped.
Yeah.
Show, you know, number one, the green went away. It's brown. They're getting ready to seed it.
Man.
And then certainly covering it with mulch. We have a gal that grows what we call animal grass, right? Pots of grass that people that have indoor cats or dogs, they feed them this grass to help their digestion. The pigeons absolutely know her truck. When she pulls up, pigeons just land in her truck. Because she's carrying, you know, starts of grass seed.
That's like the gulls following the shrimp boats?
Exactly. I mean, they just know. So they're certainly trained and conditioned to see certain things and know that Well, it must be time. There's a free meal down there.
John Jay, this rental property where it's seeded and then it's mulched, I went by the other morning and there wasn't a bird on the yard. And I thought, well, they finally ate every seed I put down. And then I went in the backyard and there was a hawk screeching in a big Aleppo pine in the backyard. I thought, you are my best friend.
Right, put him up there every year.
Oh, man.
And you always think the birds are going to eat it, but when you think... just pick up a handful of rye seed. How many thousands are in your one handful? Well, I mean, in a 50-pound bag, Stan and I were trying to figure it out from Rosary Modeling. There's in the millions.
Yeah, a customer asked me here a couple weeks ago as he was doing. He goes, "How do you beat the birds?" I said, "Just put more seed out. Yeah, just put more seed out than they can eat. If it calls, which ryegrass calls for 10 pounds of seed per 1,000 square feet, put 15 out.
And
you'll have plenty. They won't get it all, I promise.
And you're generally only in about a buck a pound. It seems like a 50-pound bag's $50.
Well, you're living in the past.
Oh, okay.
It's closer to $100 for a 50-pound bag nowadays, but about two-something a pound. But still, most people don't need anywhere near a 50-pound bag to do their lawn. They need 15 or 20 pounds. So an extra few pounds is, a couple bucks. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And like you say, you just buy a couple extra pounds and feed the birds.
The other tip is I always keep a few extra pounds around because you're always going
to
have a spot that the sprinkler doesn't hit quite right, or maybe you didn't, or maybe the birds did. If you look at birds, they'll for some reason they'll be kind of all in the middle of the lawn or whatever. So there are places where they might impact a little more. So always have yourself a few extra pounds of seed.
I'm going to come up with green mulch and see if that really doesn't solve the problem. These birds have recognized the dark mulch. It's lunchtime.
Yeah. Even then, if you're $2 a